This is Remote Patrol, the podcast where Jason Hawk, Richard Smith, and Allison Downing talk all about old TV shows, shows that we love, shows that you might have missed, shows that might or might not be good, and we find out where we land on them. I'm Jason Hawk, as I said. He's Richard Smith. She's Allison Downing. How are you guys doing? We haven't talked in a long, long time, with the exception of the 10 minutes that we just did off air.
Yeah.
I'm all right. Reassessing life, but yeah, I'm all right.
I missed you.
Missed you too.
We missed you too.
And just the long break that Remote Patrol has had is entirely my fault. I went and had two more children because I'm stupid, and my sperm are very potent. I guess
as they are. They're strong swimmers, aren't they? They're quite keen.
They are. They're amazing. But yes, we took a year off at my behest because of the babies. And finally, we're getting back to a point where we can jump back into it. You know, I haven't actually had a whole lot of time to watch TV in the past year.
I bet you
haven't. Yeah, I imagine so.
You make
TV, though.
It's been somewhat
of an uncomfortable divorce.
You make some good videos, which have kept me entertained.
To be honest, what blows me away about what you've just done is that you didn't just have a baby. You just had two babies at the same time. Whilst you already had a two-year-old? Is that right?
She's three now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So, you know, some people would struggle to cope with a two-year-old. And you were like, no, well, bring it on.
Nice work on getting her to do the laps of the basement. That was cool. How long was she doing that?
Oh, I'm so proud of that.
Basement.
She had to be worn out. She had to be worn down. She had to be tired. And if you make somebody run 144 laps of a 42-foot basement, that's going to do the trick.
Running 142 laps of anywhere would do me in.
So she was out of it. But yeah, we watched Columbo, and I had a blast. I absolutely loved watching Columbo.
Did you end up watching any? Because we sort of agreed we'd watch the first one and the first episode of season 6 because it had Shatner. Did you?
Those are exactly the two that I got to.
Right. Okay. I wondered if you just felt, or I mean, that's the thing. You might have felt like you wanted to watch more, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you got to.
I did want to watch more, and I was surprised that I wanted to watch more because I guess I always got confused with Matlock and kind of dismissed Columbo as drivel.
Oh, gosh. Right.
So I wasn't really expecting to like it. I mean, I've seen Columbo before, and I like Peter Falk. You know, he's the grandpa in The Princess Bride.
Yeah.
So I shouldn't have had a problem going into it, but for some strange reason, I had always gotten those two shows confused in my mind.
Right, okay.
Never seen Matlock.
I've seen Don't a couple. It certainly didn't draw me in like Columbo did.
I know it's what old people in Springfield like.
You see, Rich, in the criminal justice system, there are two equally important parts. There are the police who forget it.
Yeah.
Bong. Columbo's the cop and Matlock is the lawyer.
Right.
That's
okay.
The joke.
Okay.
I got into that and I realized I couldn't remember the opening to Law and Order.
Never seen an episode of that either.
Well, that's the opening to Law and Order, basically, in the criminal justice system. They spell out that the cops and the prosecutors work together.
It's like Ally McBeal, isn't it? About a girl called Law and Order and her adventures.
No, it's not two female cops. It's not Cagney and Lacey in the 2000s. That's not what Law and Order
is. Just one woman, Law and Order.
Law and Order. I see what you're saying.
Law and Order. I just assumed it was like Ally McBeal or something. So it's about a woman called Laura.
No.
Law and Order actually has some parallels to Columbo, but Columbo is much less procedural and much more storytelling, even though, you know, watching Columbo, I was kind of surprised at how clinical some of it was.
It's a great show. I want to start by reading out the description you get when you just search for Columbo on Google. So in all honesty, I don't know where this description comes from, because it's in Google's little box at the top of the search. And it actually sums it up what's unique about the show quite quickly. Columbo isn't the typical detective whodunit TV show. On most detective shows, viewers don't know who committed the crime until the detective pieces the clues together and figures it out. On this program, however, viewers see the crime unfold at the beginning of episodes, including who committed the crime. And the mystery for the viewers is trying to spot the clues that will lead Lieutenant Columbo to discover the culprit and the tricks he used to get a confession. And that is true. It's, you know who did it all the way through.
It's not a whodunit. It's a how's he going to get them?
Yeah. And I can't think of another how's he going to get them.
No, I can't either.
But that's what this is. There's no whodunit. There's no mystery. We watched the crime happen. We know that Shatner killed that woman. We know why he did it.
Yep.
With all these things. But that's not the point. We just get to watch
Columbo. There's kind of no spoilers, really.
No, you can't spoil it.
Not really.
I'll tell you now, if there's a guest star on the show, they did it.
They did it.
That's how it works.
It's okay.
And if you've seen any episode of Columbo, then you've seen all of them, apparently, because it seems like it's very formulaic.
They're all almost identical. The only thing that changes is character names, locations, you know, intricacies of plot.
He works with the famous people quite a bit, though, doesn't he? You know, he does come across actors and writers.
He exclusively solves crimes within the upper echelons of society.
Well, it's like the greater Los Angeles area as well, so it includes Beverly Hills and all that lot. So
yeah.
It's a good location for him, really, because he gets to mess around with stars who've done bad stuff.
It's never like...
done murders.
It's never a sort of robbery on the street kind of murder.
I wonder if when he went to the police academy, he was allowed to choose that as his major. Like, I could go into fingerprinting or forensic police work or celebrity policing. And he's like, oh, that's the one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can ask all those people how they got their shoes from.
My wife loves
my wife. Yeah, you know, my wife always says I should go and look at the celebrities. What do you think?
She likes them. She'd like a autograph. Oh, she'd be out of her mind.
Always talking about his wife. We don't see her in this series. Later, it becomes.
Do
Kate
you think
Mulgrew.
His wife really exists?
Yeah, later it's Kate Mulgrew.
Later it's Kate Mulgrew.
Is it really?
There is a series, Mrs. Columbo, in which Kate Mulgrew, the wife of Lieutenant Columbo, solves crimes.
You're kidding.
No, look it up.
She was well younger than him. That's all I've got to say.
Because having seen just these two episodes, and then living the rest of my life in a relatively Columbo-free vacuum, I was kind of wondering the whole time, is he just making the wife up as kind of like this foil to throw the criminals off guard? Like, you know, I mean,
humanizing,
when I go out on my job, I could make up any personal details to try to relate to the people that I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Mrs. Columbo, TV series 1979 to 1980. Mrs. Kate Columbo, wife of the famous lieutenant, solves crimes as a reporter while raising her little daughter, starring Kate Mulgrew as Kate Columbo.
I think it was a
interesting little
foil.
Story about the Mulgrew. You know, I live in Ohio, mm-hmm. and she is the wife of a former gubernatorial candidate.
Oh,
she was almost the governor's wife in Ohio.
Crikey.
Right. She was Lieutenant Columbo's wife, but it was hugely unsuccessful. Obviously, you've never heard of it. And they kind of, by episode 4, had done away with any concept of her actually being Mrs. Columbo.
You see, I think I got the same impression as you, Jason. All of my relationship with Columbo has been, has he got this wife or is she just something that she uses to humanize him and make him seem even more needy and reliant upon a woman than he appears?
He has phone calls with her.
But does it? You know,
yes.
Yeah, I know, but it's all kind of...
That could easily be faked.
It could be. She, you know, she might just be an office person or whatever, somebody that's codenamed Mrs. Columbo but isn't his wife. I think if they'd have never even made Mrs. Columbo, I would have been happier had she never, ever been given an identity and confirmed that she actually existed in real life.
Well, I think
if the series were made today, though, it's entirely possible we would have given Columbo this huge backstory where he was deeply wounded and he had his own problems that he was wrestling with. And they could have easily made it so that he was crazy, an unreliable narrator who was making up this wife that, or talking to his wife who died 12 years ago, kind of just keeping her alive in his memory. Because that's what I thought was going on, that it was some sort of a proxy.
I think it's as obvious.
I think it works great with or without, you know, either or.
He just has a wife. It's okay, I think. Don't worry about it. He just has a wife. There's nothing weird about it. There's nothing.
She's just got to say a little bit about their life together or what she likes to somebody just to disarm them.
She goes on a cruise with him in one episode, the one on the cruise ship.
Do you see her?
No.
You see?
You never see her, but she's on the ship with him. And other people speak to her. She's a real person. It's all right.
See, even if you were to see her, it still wouldn't be necessarily a nail in the coffin. Because, you know, Scrubs. I love Scrubs. Mm. In the first season of Scrubs, the whole point of the janitor was going to be that he didn't exist, that only JD could see him.
You see, I'd be happy about that. I'd be happy if she was Figment.
She's not, though.
She's not, because this isn't that show. This is just so much more straightforward than that.
Yeah. There's nothing. The cleverness of this show comes with him discovering who the murderer was. There's nothing else to it.
He disarms people very well, though, because he looks incompetent. He drives this shit heap of a car that has got barely any paint left on it, and it sounds awful when he's driving down the street, and has never got any gas in it, and his raincoat just looks crumpled, and he just looks a bit disheveled. Like, if you were to just move his coat just a little to the left, there'd be some stain.
Now, see, that's all carefully calculated, though.
It really is.
I can tell you, in my career in journalism, they tell you, like, in college, they're like, okay, you got to dress up and look nice and be presentable. But then you show up for the first day on your actual job, and they're like, why are you wearing a nice clothes? You've got to wear crappy clothes. You've got to look terrible so that people aren't on guard. You've got to be able to catch them with their shields down.
Exactly. That's how I dress as a drug and alcohol worker. Why would I dress up when I'm talking to someone who's homeless?
I might be quite good at journalism then. If it helps to look a mess.
If it helps look a mess.
I could excel at that.
This guy set of skills. But
yeah. This guy came to interview me. He had dinner on him. He fell asleep halfway through. He wasn't listening at all. I told him all our evil plans. He'll never have heard. And then I write them out. That's the way.
See,
speaking of other weird identity issues, can I ask you a question? Because like I said, I've only seen two episodes of this show. Do we have a first name for Columbo?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
No, he is Columbo.
There's no first name.
Yeah.
Now, see, do you think that was on purpose? Because if you had a modern show, and we do, The Big Bang Theory, are you guys fans?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Penny is the only character on that show that doesn't have a last name. And it's got to be on purpose. A writer can't sit down at a computer and write a script for a show and keep on pumping them out for 7 or 8 seasons and continue to avoid something like that.
Yeah.
As a mistake. There has to be a purpose for it. So what's the purpose of never telling us Columbo's first name?
His name is Lieutenant. He is a detective. That's all he is.
Well, actually, there is a section about his first name on Wikipedia. It is Frank.
Is it Frank?
We see it.
Frank?
So
they say it at some point?
Let's see. The name Frank is often seen relatively clearly on his police ID. Yeah, Frank Columbo. So it's not said. He is always called Columbo, but yeah. There are a number of times when you see it written down and it's Frank.
Is that a thing over there? Because this is a thing in America. It's the whole jock kind of mentality, the jock culture, where you call people by their last name. It's a way that men who are afraid of being anything but heteronormative distance their friends from themselves.
Yeah, but it would be a public school thing.
I don't know. I get called down in a lot by old school friends. It's always old school friends. It's not new people don't call me down in. But, you know, I have some friends who refer to me with my full name. You know, Alison, hi. Like, they can't just say, Alison, hi. They've got to do the whole thing. Like, why?
Still throws me that you don't have a middle name. I don't know why. I expect people to have middle names.
Bestow me with one, right? I didn't get to choose my first or my last name, so I'm not going to get to choose my middle name. Bestow me with one. Penelope.
You're a Penelope.
Oh, I can't write that down, though. Every time I see Penelope written down, I read Penelope and have to correct myself. That's right.
My middle name is your first name. I'm a Richard.
Very good.
It's just a thing. People have middle names. I don't know.
I've just got to check whether APD is short for something like venereal.
Arkansas PD.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. Back to Columbo, though.
Speaking of my wife, she says it's the perfect show to nap to because it's predictable and not too stressful. She was very comfortable watching it with me, and that is not something that is very common. She typically will not sit down through any show. Have I ever told you this about Lisa?
No, it's a new fact.
Lisa has about four or five movies that she'll watch, like Forrest Gump, the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Gone with the Wind once in a while, but not very long. Mainly, the other ones are kids movies. But for TV shows, I mean, she's not like the paragon of excellence. Lisa likes, like, we'll watch Full House at night on endless repeat on TV Land or Fresh Prince, that sort of thing. So I was really surprised when she actually sat and watched this very long two episodes of Columbo.
I tried to get Allison to watch an episode of Full House once. She looked at me like she was going to stab me in the face.
Yeah, I'm not watching that shit.
She got angry.
It's entirely nostalgia.
Yeah.
I'm mortal, so it's not part of my nostalgia. I don't need it to form new stuff. So,
this is it. You didn't see it when it was first on. You have no nostalgia. To you, it's just an old TV show.
Is that the one with the Olsons in it?
Yeah.
It is.
It's fucking awful. My condolences, and Jason. I like
Cameron's
The Wire.
Sisters in there. Bob Saget. Yeah. Alanis Morissette's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Did she go out with Bob Saget?
No, she went out with Uncle Joey.
Oh, he's been out with everybody, though.
He was the one that went down on her in a theater in that song.
Really? Wasn't it the other way around that she went down on him?
Maybe it was. I don't know, but whatever.
I'm showing too much of a knowledge of Alanis Morissette lyrics.
You ought to know was about Dave Coulier.
Oh, that Uncle Joey. Do you know what? I got him mixed up with the other guy.
Joey's the one with the comedy routines.
Yeah. He got Alanis Morissette. Well,
he did.
Well,
isn't
done.
That amazing?
Well done.
You would
there.
Automatically assume that it's Uncle Jesse because he went out with Rebecca Romijn.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
He was married to Rebecca Romijn.
Yes, he was. And yeah.
She's hot.
He's the guy who is on the episode of Friends
all
when
the way up to that.
Chandler brings him home from work as a candidate for getting Monica pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah, he guest stars on Friends. Season 8-ish, I think, around that sort of area. Monica and Chandler are married, trying to have a baby, and they decide they need donor sperm. And he brings John Stamos home from work. That's the truth.
I see it.
Yeah, to the best of my recollection.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The best thing about Columbo. No, that's not true. That's too big a statement. One of the great things about Columbo is the guest stars. Because they manage to get people that are really pretty good. And
well, we've got two bangers in the episodes that we watched tonight. I mean, huge, huge people in the 70s at least.
One of them has kind of become bigger now, I feel.
You're talking about Captain Kirk, of course.
I am, yeah.
Because I don't know. I thought you might be talking about Walter Koenig.
Which one was Walter Koenig in?
He was in the one with Shatner.
Didn't you see
his big stupid grin in the background? He was another cop.
How the hell did I miss that? We've had that episode on.
I did, to be perfectly honest. He was standing there. He had this huge beaming smile. And I said, that can't possibly be Chekhov. And I looked at IMDb and lo and behold, it was.
We've had that episode on twice tonight. How on earth did I miss that?
He's seriously there for about 3.5 seconds.
Yeah.
Right, okay, I don't feel as bad anymore. You'd think that would have been on the trivia or something. But no.
It was. It's in the IMDb trivia twice.
Oh, is it?
There's like four pieces of IMDb trivia about that episode, and two of them are that.
Then we have to explore the possibility that I am an idiot. There comes a time when we have to start adding that to the list.
William Shatner was in Star Trek, and Walter Koenig was also in Star Trek, and they were in this episode together. And then the second one is like, Walter Koenig played Chekhov in Star Trek, and Captain Kirk was played by, William Shatner, and they were both in this together.
I do feel those are borderline as to whether it's worth writing stuff like that down in IMDb trivia. There's a lot of ones like this where actor A was in a film where he played a guy named Dave, and actor B was also in another film where he played a guy named Dave. What are the chances? And you're like, well, you know, these things
less
happen.
Trivia than we hold these truths to be self-evident.
Yeah. It's like, it's well,
that's just kind of statements of fact.
Yeah. You've not technically said anything wrong, but it is in itself a meaningless fact. But yeah. So you have Shatner in a couple of them. Leonard Nimoy is the bad guy in one of them. Like I said earlier, the bad guy is always the guest star. That's how this goes. The only recurring character is Columbo, and later his dog, who is also just called Dog. So the dog never has a name either. A little bit of a theme going on.
See, there's got to be something to that. The whole name thing, what's in a name, it's huge when you're a writer. You can't just do that and not expect it to be something meaningful.
I think they have, though. I think they've just not
given
him a name.
This is literally killing me. I can feel myself dying.
Patrick McGoohan is in four of them.
He is.
He's in The Prisoner, you know. I love that show now.
I listened to your recent episode of Ray Guns and Go-Go Boots. I am moved to try to watch that show myself.
It's weird. But I liked it. Give it a go. See how far you
get. Did you catch the huge, huge names that are attached to the pilot of Columbo?
No, I didn't.
Well, we've got... Okay. We did. We've got Ruffalo, haven't we?
What?
The pilot. Oh, the original.
Yeah.
All right, okay, sure.
I don't know what you...
Yeah,
were.
I'm talking about episode one, season one, Murder by the Book.
Murder by the Book, the two writers.
The problem I have with just some of them is that I don't always remember. I don't necessarily know the people that they are.
Well, you'll certainly know the name Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
Certainly.
Who directed the first episode of Columbo.
He was a mere 27 years old.
I didn't see any kind of Spielberg signature shots, though.
No, there were some
kind of interesting shots. I don't know whether you caught this, but there was a beautiful one where there were a group of law enforcement officers stood around a corpse, and the camera was at penis height, looking up at each man as he had his thought about what had happened to this corpse. It was very good. And then it cut away to back into a normal sort of frame shot.
See, now, the murderer in the first one is Jack Cassidy, who has an IMDb list as long as your arm.
David Cassidy's dad from the Partridge Family.
Oh, right.
Oh, that David Cassidy.
But, I mean, he died in 1976, which is 3 years before I was born.
Old.
That's very young,
very
isn't
young,
it?
Very young, yeah.
I can't remember what it was. Lisa was pulling up all kinds of facts and trivia on the laptop as we were watching it. I think he was like drunk and got hit by a car, or drunk and crashed a car, something.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it involved him being drunk.
Right. Okay. I'm just scanning through his personal trivia now just to see if there is anything. But
well, apparently he was a real work of art.
He died. He died when his couch and subsequently apartment caught fire after he fell asleep on it with a lit cigarette. That's how he died.
Where's that?
That's Jack Cassidy.
Does it say he was drunk? Because I had money on drunk.
I would think that if you've fallen asleep with a lit cigarette on a couch, you're drunk.
Especially if you don't wake up when it's on fire.
Mm.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? If you're just normally asleep, you wake up if somebody burns you. But so we'll assume there were other circumstances that led to him not waking up.
So all this according to Lisa, but of course he's the father of David Cassidy, and apparently he was married to Shirley Jones, who is the mom on the Partridge Family in real life. And according to Lisa now, he was apparently bisexual and always having affairs and sleeping around.
Including one with Cole Porter, yes.
Well, there you go.
Very interesting guy. I thought he was compelling as an actor in this episode.
Apparently, he spent some time in a psychiatric unit as well, and he'd been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So, a complex guy.
Clearly. Yes, it's interesting, I think, that he actually plays a character that is almost quite similar to the William Shatner character, in that they are both creators of fictional crime.
Yeah.
This guy being Jack Cassidy being a writer of crime novels.
Although not really
although
a
not
writer.
A very good one. And
no, he does PR, really. Yeah. He does all the schmoozing that his friend, who's a, well, friend, his writing partner actually does all the writing and he does all the...
Yeah. And both schmoozing. Of them rely on their knowledge of mysteries to get away with it. You know, both.
But that's this fantasy self-insertion thing that the writers were doing, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the writers of Columbo, Richard Levinson and William Link, the first episode, according to the trivia that was on the IMDb page, I think that's where I saw it. But at any rate, they specifically wrote the parts of the two authors to be themselves.
Did they?
Well, then.
Kind of makes you think about what their relationship might have been behind the
it does,
scenes.
Doesn't it?
I imagine it was slightly more stressful him? After this episode.
Yeah. I was like,
those guys, by the way, tag teamed on a whole bunch of stuff that you know. They created Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, did they?
Wow.
This is their genre, really, isn't it? The kind of...
It's all kind of crappy, very predictable CBS style, made for old people murder mysteries. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jason,
that we all secretly love. And on all old.
I want to do a serial fictionalized podcast about a guy who runs a podcast network and murders his girlfriend. I'm going to base it on us. It's creepy
since
that,
since you're
going to
make
it
a serial, you could call it Serial.
I could do that. That might be an idea.
Actually, you know what? I floated this idea past Ro and Omar the other day. And I think that we should make a podcast called Serial, C-E-R-E-A-L,
yeah.
So that bad spellers will look for us in iTunes and we'll get tremendously popular.
That would be amazing. Yeah, let's do that.
I think that's not a bad idea. Sadly, I think
it
would
work. Because I could talk at length about Post and Kellogg's cereals.
I'm sure. I know you have done. I've recorded that.
I could even stray into Nestle.
We did a whole episode of Remastered about cereal, didn't
Nes we? Nesbisco, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
And that really only scratched the surface.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many cereals to talk about.
I mean, what about oats? And you have grits over there. We don't have grits. I want to try grits.
Well, grits aren't really cereal. Grits are a perversion of the South.
Yeah, but what are they made of?
It's wheat
Who
and
knows?
Oats, isn't it? And snot.
Corn something or other. Cornmeal and eggs.
Which is a cereal, know. Right? So,
I don't know. No, it's not cereal like. No, it's not cereal like cornflakes or cereal.
Right. Well, am I just getting confused because they have them for breakfast?
Grits. It looks like porridge.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting confused by.
Yeah, because you think by the name grits that it's like a number of little things.
I said oats and then said grits immediately afterwards because you know. I think they're both porridge.
Hominy.
What the fuck is that?
Hominy is, I think, non-genetically enhanced corn. I don't know. I've never been able to figure that out myself. But you can buy it at the store. It looks like corn, I don't know, very faded.
Faded, all right. I need to look.
It's not yellow. It's more white.
Okay. Hominy grits. Dried maize kernels, which have been treated with an alkali in a process called nixtamalization. Ooh, nixtamalization. That's amazing. Yeah, they're weird. Yeah, they're weird.
This is the Grits podcast.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Grits. Learning about breakfast foods all over the world.
But does Columbo ever eat breakfast? I imagine.
Yes,
he does.
He likes omelets.
Does he really?
Maybe it's mentioned. Imaginary breakfast. Maybe he's inventing the breakfast to throw the criminals off guard.
Well, you see, he talks about it and making it for his wife. And it's the only thing he's any good at is omelet.
Did you know that the writers originally wanted either Lee Cobb from 12 Angry Men or Bing Crosby to play?
No, I was appalled when I read Bing Crosby. I really was. There's something perfect about Peter Falk, and it's the uncomfortable fact that he's got a glass eye, and it somehow just adds to that raincoat and the disheveledness and the bumbling nature of him and his hyper polite behavior. It's wonderful. Really is a
glass eye. I always thought that it was just like a damaged nerve or something. No, but it's an actual fake eye.
It's a fake eye at a glass eye, yeah.
Wow.
So that's why, you know, one eye's looking at you, one eye's looking for you.
And it does sort of help the image that he's trying to project.
It does, doesn't it?
The constant fool.
You see, I struggle to see how Bing Crosby could do that quite so effectively.
He would have been too smooth.
He would. He would. I'm not sure about the other guy, though. But still, I think Columbo's perfect. It's one of those... who would you cast instead of him moments, and there isn't one. He's great. I mean, if Mark Ruffalo was to play him, that would be amazing.
Is that just a rumor, by the way, because that's the second time you've brought it up?
I think it's just a rumor.
Is there something that we have linking him?
I think it's just a rumor, and I think it's just me dreaming that would be a perfect thing.
I was actually going to ask if you could set us up a petition on whitehouse.gov to make the government make somebody put Mark Ruffalo in some more Columbos. I know that
I'm
kind
not
of...
I'm sure he's the right fit, though. He's too tall. He's too broad-shouldered. He's too... I don't know. He's a little bit intense. He's got the Hulk thing going for him.
Watch,
Hulk is nice as Bruce Banner, but...
Watch Zodiac.
Yeah.
Watch the movie Zodiac with him and Robert Downey Jr. and Jake Gyllenhaal, and then we'll have this discussion again. Because he's basically Columbo in the film. Except for the fact that he obviously doesn't catch the Zodiac killer, which Columbo would do.
He would.
I'd be remiss if I didn't suggest Ryan Reynolds.
No.
I'm just kidding. I say Ryan Reynolds for everything.
Yeah. Because he's just like the best movie star.
He's going to be Deadpool.
I'm kind of in love with him.
So, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be Deadpool. Yeah. I'm cool with him doing that.
No idea about that. You know I'm okay with it.
I've watched you play Deadpool for hours and hours in front of me. I know Deadpool is. I know what his psyche is. I know what he laughs about. I know what amuses him. I know why he commits the things that he does. You know, I understand this dude, so yeah, I do understand.
Okay.
I get it, and I've seen the trailer, and it was perfect.
But really, somebody
should... If you've got Netflix, go and watch Ultimate Spider-Man. There's a great defining Deadpool episode. I think it's in, like, season 2 or 3. My little girl has been watching these comic book cartoons, and it makes me so happy, because I get to watch the comic book cartoons, too.
Excellent. That's amazing.
Indeed.
I'm really pleased for you.
Yeah, but go on.
I can't begin to imagine or to tell you how happy I am that she's finally getting to the age where I can show her stuff that I like. We've been watching Star Wars recently.
Oh, brilliant.
I bet that's a good bit of it. This is into why you become a father and all that sort of thing. Because, you know, I don't think anybody becomes a father thinking, I can't wait to change nappies and have no sleep. You know,
well, there's the genetic imperative part of it, but there's also the geek imperative. You have to pass on those things that you have grown to love.
Exactly. That's the
Try
one
to
bit
force your children to love them too.
Yeah, that's the one bit I kind of like feel bad about, but you know, you can keep the rest.
That's
of
why
it.
I learned Alex Wayne's World.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, you know.
Yeah.
But she's in bed upstairs right now with a little R2-D2 toy in her hand, so I think I won.
You did. You got running 144 laps and R2-D2. That's amazing.
I just told someone at work yesterday that I can't wait until she's old enough for TNG, because then it's really on.
Yeah, and she'll like it. She will like it. I have no doubt.
And think what a nice person
she'll
a nice person she'll grow up to be, having been raised on Star Trek and these other wonderful things.
Well, you have to be. Yeah. Star Trek is, I think, the great ethical equalizer. It's an actual moral version of the Bible that doesn't have all the BS.
It's a great parent. It really is.
Absolutely. So is there any other Columbo business to cover?
I just like how he makes sure that the murderer thinks that they're the clever one. And that he's a bit of an idiot.
Again, the two episodes we watched were a great example of those. On many an occasion, you watch the murderer just bury themselves in front of him. And that's what he's good at, letting people talk.
Yeah.
It does suffer, though, a little bit from the, oh, you've caught me, and now I will admit to my horrible plan instead of pleading not guilty and trying to rig the justice system to go in my benefit, even though I know I'm guilty.
That's because they're all sort of, that's the advantage of dealing with people who are so sophisticated and high in society. They just admit their faults.
And they've got a relationship with this guy now, even though they're now getting annoyed by him. But, you know, they all get really annoyed by him towards the end. Because they kind of know that he's onto something, because he wouldn't be around all the time if he didn't suspect them.
Yeah.
So they all get angry. But they've got a relationship with him, and he's spent a long time flattering them for working stuff out. So I think that he plays into their psyche, but all of the characters have all got the same psychology. We were saying earlier, we've been watching a lot of Criminal Minds, and everybody in Criminal Minds has got some kind of behavioural fuckadoodah going on, you know. They're not straight-up murders with straight-up MOs like jealousy or insurance or, you know, crimes of passion or whatever.
It's always he was abused as a child, so he likes to bury women upside down in sundown.
that kind of thing.
And cut their toenails.
Whereas these are dramatic murders, and we have to remember that these are of their time. Even though we can love them today, they were made in the 70s, and we were very, 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 very sensible and sensitive about these things, mm-hmm. and this was about as gruesome as we could manage.
There's no gruesome in
it. No crime could have, you know, anything other than motive and opportunity. It couldn't just be a crime of passion or you know, random acts of violence.
No psychosis or anything like that.
But then he's majored in celebrity crime at the academy, so they just don't send him on those.
That's right.
Well, that means that he didn't get to take the classes about those kinds of crimes.
Yes.
He was so focused on the Hollywood classes.
There's other crime. I mean, it's L.A. There's gangs killing hookers and all kinds of things going on. There, other detectives go to those crimes. Not
his car isn't good enough to do, like, traffic.
Yeah.
So
I think they give you a car if you do traffic police, you know.
They've given him a shitty car. Look at his car.
No, that's his car. That's not his police car.
Right. Why is
the union would never stand for
the
that.
The union would never stand for that. That is his police-issued car. It fucking is, right? It is.
It can't be. It's ridiculous. No,
detective.
It's his car.
It's not pursuit rated.
It's not.
It's not pursuit rated. It's match my trench coat. That's all it is.
Yeah.
His car is the equivalent of his raincoat.
It's his car, though, isn't it?
No. It's. Can you imagine police officers turning up to work and going, "Have you brought your own vehicle, sir? Here's a bubble to put on the..."
No, but you see plenty of adverts for jobs that say driver's license necessary and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, they don't say bring your shitty beat up old Peugeot down here.
He's not pulling people over. He's a detective. He's not going to chase anyone.
So that the detectives are issued all kinds of cars. They're issued scruffy cars and pursuit cars and vans and all kinds of things.
Okay, I'll take your word.
He doesn't have to take his own car to work. He's a detective.
I think they take their own
car. Not a salesman.
I think they take their own car.
He's not a home care worker.
I can tell you from experience that there's a couple different setups. And most of the time, a detective does have an official police car, even though it's one that's been taken out of the fleet, you know, like retired after a certain mileage. Or they have unmarked cars so that they don't scare suspects when they pull up on you.
Yeah. Well, is this
it's possible that this one is an unmarked car, but based on the fact that it looks like it's out of the 1950s, even though this was made, 1971, mm-hmm. something like that? I'm guessing it's not still a cop car.
No. If you could, next time, if you ever get caused as part of your job to speak to a detective in the police, if you could just slip that question in at the end, I'd really appreciate it.
I'll ask tomorrow.
When you go to a crime scene, do you go in your own car?
Is this your own car, sir?
Or do they give you one? It just seems odd that he would, you know, if you get that call at 4 a.m, hey, William Shatner's murdered someone again, we think. He drives to the police station, picks up his police car, and then drives to the crime scene. He just drives to the crime scene in his own car. I'm telling you, that's got to be it. That makes more sense. I bet he can build a department for petrol. I bet he can do that.
Mm.
But, yeah.
And that's Columbo.
That is Columbo.
Love this show.
It's a wonderful show. I kind of grew up with it. You know, it was on British TV when I was a kid. And it's what Lisa described, you know. It's one of those shows that it's a movie length. So it's something to get comfortable and relax into. And I don't know, it was different. And it, because you got to see a guy work instead of working it out for yourself, it made it a bit more joyous, and there were some really lovely comic moments, and it's just gentle, even though it's about murder.
In a way, it's a chase. It's a big chase scene. He's just chasing the bad guy.
Yeah. I like seeing the bad guys unravel a bit, you know? And I like the way that he plays them all. And he does play them all in a very specific way. He gets to understand them pretty quickly and how to speak to them, which I enjoy because, you know, they're skills that I use in my job, you know? I'm not quite the same version of myself as I am with each different person. I'm who they need me to be right then. And he does that. And I enjoy seeing people do that.
Very good. Well, we haven't decided what we're going to talk about next. Better get off the air and figure out what show we're going to look at.
Okay. So thank you for listening, everybody. If you'd like to send us emails, I suppose we can do that.
Yeah.
RemotePatrol@simplysyndicated.com will be your email address for that. And we'll, I don't know, maybe if it's good, we'll read it out on the show. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Send us some and we'll see. You might want to check out some of our other shows. You can listen to Jason on Atomic Trivia War 9000, which you'll find.
We're recording an episode in about 10 minutes.
Yes, it's happening right now. And you'll find that on simplysyndicated.com. And I'm all over the bloody place. I hate to list things. But again, the same website, you'll find stuff. Alison's on shows too.
I am.
She is. We brought Shaft back.
Do Ask, Do Tell.
You know? Do Ask, Do Tell. They're all there. So go and look at our website and you'll see lots of cool stuff that we're continually doing. Okay then. Without further ado, we'll be back next time with another TV show. Bye-bye, everybody.
I've enjoyed this so much.
Me too.